back to another episode of Every Fan for Himself. My name is Jason Kenny.
I'm Eli Webb.
And I am Jaren Jolly.
Oh, you're Jaren Jolly. Today, everybody, is a very special episode because it's one of those reserve episodes. So we've got a few things we're going to do today. We'll start off with a little bit of fan fiction. Then we're going to get into the dirty world of the multiverse.
Oh, the multiverse. Now, explain exactly the multiverses of which worlds we're talking about. Yeah,
Marvel and DC.
And DC Comics.
Not any of the real world stuff. No, although it all could be real world
no
stuff.
No MTV real world.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
No, but sweet. We're excited. These reserve episodes have got to
be already my favorite.
They're just so... There's.
I'd rather read fanfic than talk about news.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, we.
Sorry, I guess. All right.
Yeah,
I'm excited. So, starting with fanfic.
Let's lead off with some upper decent fanfic.
That's right. Let's get going, and let's have Jaren start.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This fanfic, as always, I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I feel like if I read the title, it'll give it away.
You gotta give credit. Maybe you can.
I'll read the author.
Yeah, who's the author? And then you just give the title after.
That's fine. The author, it's by Scotty McSpock Kirk. Let me try that again. Scotty McSpock Kirk. So there you go. But I guess I'll just dive right in, and I'll try not to do voices. It's going to be kind of hard not to do voices.
we'll also edit for profanity, just in case.
There will be no.
Try to sound like Scotty McSpock.
There is profanity in mine, so I'll edit that.
Yeah. For yourself, okay. Yeah. For your own, yeah. Your own discretion. All right, let's dive right in. Daphne shakes her head.
Oh, shoot.
This can we do? Daphne shakes her head unbelievingly and sits down. Just then, Legolas stands up and looks around. The orcs are getting much closer, he says. I can feel it. The orcs are coming from the north, and the ringwraiths are coming from the south. I'm sorry. Faceless freaks and orcs are, like, going to kill us, Shaggy screams, running around like an idiot. Shut up, Gandalf yells. Hearing this, Shaggy sits down meekly and shuts up. Aragorn stands up and looks around. I don't see anything, but I won't doubt your elf tuition, he smiles. I can sense it too, Gandalf says. Just then, the ground begins shaking. Pippin runs up to Gandalf and hugs him. What are we going to do, Gandalf? Gandalf pats the hobbit's head and replies, Don't worry, Pippin. Suddenly, a giant orc charges up to them and roars. Now we can, worrying... Aragorn yells, pulling out his sword and attacking the orc. Everyone draws their weapon and gets ready for the fight. Hundreds of orcs charge up with their swords. Shaggy screams as he charges, his dagger pointing out into an orc. The orc falls over, blood and guts pouring out of the hole made in the stomach by Shaggy's dagger and dies. Holy crap, Shaggy exclaims. I killed an orc. Such wonderful news. Fred groans sarcastically and then spots a gigantic charging to kill Shaggy. Now watch out! Shaggy turns to the orc. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Shaggy scolds, trying to sneak up behind me and kill me. What would make you want to do such a thing? The orc all of a sudden looks down at his feet ashamed. Sorry, but you killed my brother, the orc says. Like, I'm sorry, was that your brother? Shaggy asks. Why don't we go to your house and give him a good burial? The orc nods, but then looks at Shaggy and growls. Hearing the orc's growl, Shaggy grins nervously and says, You know, Mr. Orc, I think I hear mother calling. Yep, that's definitely my mother. You know, she can get really mad if I'm late for supper. Hee hee, well, I gotta go. With that, Shaggy runs off toward Aragorn.
Oh, that's the end.
That's where it stops.
Wow. Oh my god.
Again,
it's like a battle.
I'm gonna have to say you did pretty good for everyone. Your Shaggy was a little bit weird,
and your Legolas at first was kind of.
It was good though. It was good.
Your Legolas sounded like your Captain Jack Sparrow from Last Reserve.
Yeah, your Captain Jack should
have. They melt.
Yeah, they're both a little. Yeah,
you went just Gandalf was generic. Okay.
Your Gandalf was okay, yeah.
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 Okay. That's true. Your Gandalf was pretty good.
Again, it's the grammatical errors, which for me make it amazing. It enhances the reality.
What was the very first? It said something.
Daphne shakes her head unbelievingly and sits
unbelievingly, down. There it is.
Is that what you were looking for?
Daphne shakes her head unbelievingly.
Okay, yeah. You heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know if me and Jay knew that was incorrect. Yeah, grammar.
In disbelief.
Okay.
I love how they do tense.
Like the one we're under right now.
No, not tense with the T. Like tense, like they like do tense. Past tense. Yeah, and they put them in the same sentence. Love it.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's fantastic.
Daphne shakes her head unbelievingly.
Yeah,
maybe shook in disbelief.
Yeah.
Makes sense. What was the title of that one?
So the title was A Hobbit Named Scooby Doo.
Oh, sweet. We never even saw Scooby.
I don't think he made an appearance yet.
Okay.
All right. Well.
I'm glad to go.
Who's up?
Who's is worse? I'm going to go ahead and do mine then.
Okay.
I have a feeling yours is going to be bad.
Okay.
I don't know how to start this one. Like, I'm not, like, totally stoked about it. I thought it was going to be better than it is. Anyway, it is called Arthur and the Red Wedding.
Oh, my gosh.
By Travis 2017. So basically in this story, from the title, Arthur goes to a red wedding, a communist wedding, because he helped out some old people.
Isn't the red wedding like a Game of Thrones thing?
I thought it was Game of Thrones.
No.
It might be as well, but I think.
Is this actually a communist
wedding? It's a communist wedding.
Wow, it's better, actually.
And Arthur goes to this communist wedding because he helped out some old people on the streets, and those old people were like, hey, why don't you just come to this wedding and bring all your friends and family? So here's after the at the reception.
Wow. Okay.
And here we go.
Wow.
This is the by the way, it reads out like a script, like a play or a movie.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
This is the reception. The kids can't wait until it's time to leave. The kids are called in the room to learn about communism and get books from Marx translated into English. They know they have no choice there. They just don't like it. They run a preschool and wants DW to go to it and Kate one day. It's so bad. They don't like that idea at all. DW loves her preschool a lot, and they went to the classroom part. They all want to go home. They don't like communism because it's bad. You kids can learn about socialism and communism, says a man. Karl Marx wrote these books. Is socialism good, said Arthur, or not? It's very good.
This is really written for kids.
It's true democracy.
What?
They was read part of the Communist Manifesto. I'm reading this as it is, guys.
Oh yeah, no, we're loving it.
Arthur and them don't like it at all. Arthur prefers the Bible instead. Arthur hates communism. He likes the Republic the way it is, but he wants to be one nation under God again, not communism. After that, they went to eat food and tell their parents what they had to do in the back room. They hate that. They want to go home. They want to go home, the kids do. They will go home in about 3 hours. They are looking forward to that when they go home. I don't like that one bit, says Miss Reed. This place is scary. Maybe I should help them, said Arthur. Maybe then we wouldn't be here. It was my fault, said Miss Reed. I want to be a better parent from now on. So what will you and Dad do to become a better one? said Arthur. I just want to know. Enroll in better parent classes, said Bo. We want to treat you better than we have. That is good, said Arthur. I was hoping you would become better parents.
Oh,
after, After the party, they all went home. Glad they are at home. Next story, they begin better parent classes. The end. This is just...
I love... It's written so matter-of-factly.
It's so...
It's just like, that is good. You are better parent now.
Aren't
you
they preferred the Bible?
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that addition.
Wow.
That was amazing, Jason.
That was pretty good, actually. That, like, when I was reading it, it wasn't as good. But, like, coming out of my mouth, it was really
hearing
good.
It. Yeah, because your mind fills in those gaps.
Well, I mean, that feels like... knowing you, I mean, you have always gravitated towards off-brand communist humor for as long as I've known you. And so I don't know how I didn't see this coming, but...
That is awesome.
Jason, you're amazing.
That's awesome. Big fan of that one.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Eli, finish this off.
This one is called Double the Confusion on My Riddles. And it's by Injustice.League, spelled L-E-A-U-G-E. So, Loge?
Loge?
Injustice Loge.
It's an Olympic sport, the Loge. Different than Loge.
Injustice Loge. Baby, are you okay? I'm fine, Harvey, Riddler mumbled back, resting his chin on his hand. Scoot over. Two-Face tauntingly shoved Edward over and slipped next to him on their throne of a chair.
Did you say Edward?
Whole different Edward, not coming out the other room. But this time, Edward didn't smile back or try to shove him off again. Just sat there staring at the picture of Batman and Bruce Wayne they had hung up. The pictures had multiple knives and darts in it, as well as explicit messages written in paint with arrows pointing at their faces. I want him dead, Harvey. I want him dead, Edward yelled.
Oh, Edward Nigma, like the Riddler. Okay,
oh,
got it.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Not pouty or anything like he normally was when discussing Bruce. Eddie, calm down. Two-Face kissed the top part of his earlobe, and Edward shrank back down into the heavily cushioned seat. He sniffled. He rejected my creation, my amazing creation, Harvey. It was revolutionary, and he rejected it. Hon, he was so stupid to reject your beautiful mind. You know what? Let's get some ice cream and kidnap Bruce Wayne. How would you like that? Edward looked up like a lost puppy at his boyfriend, and a small smile slid across his lips, his eyes destroying any unhappiness whatsoever and replacing it with a form of hated passion. Ice cream and kidnapping the Bruce man? Ice cream and kidnapping the Bruce man. You are correct, hon.
Bruce man.
Now, Two-Face had always disliked calling him Bruce man, but put up with it for his love's sake. Eddie got angry very easily and could shut himself in a room writing riddles for days until Harvey apologized, so it was best not to make him upset by saying Bruce Wayne or Bruce when Edward was calling him Bruce Man. Hey, every relationship's had its bumps. Riddler squealed and delighted and jumped up. Ice cream and Bruce Man! Ice cream and Bruce Man! He frolicked and cartwheeled around the room chanting about ice cream and the Bruce Man. Harvey cracked a smile and walked over to the fridge. What type do you want, Eddie? Strawberry with a side of Bruce Man, Harv. Eddie did a back spring and himself against the wall. His legs threw over his head in an awkward position. Harvey chuckled and plopped a couple strawberry ice cream scoops onto a cone. Come here before it melts. Eddie rolled over rolled back over and somersaulted over to Harvey. He sat on his knees, grabbed the cone, and speedily licked it up. Two-Space walked over to the demonic side of the cave and figured out when and where they should attack while Riddler ate his childishly loved ice cream. Bruce normally comes home at 7. The butler died a couple weeks ago, so Bruce should be emotionally distraught, Two-Face continued on. Riddler skipped over with a confused, huh? Harvey sighed and pulled out a whiteboard and wrote this. Bruce minus butler equals sad. Sad Bruce equals nightmare. Nightmare equals no sleep. No sleep equals fatigue. Fatigue equals less ability to fight. Less fighting equals easier capture. Easier capture equals quicker death. He scribbled in large red letters. Riddle gasped. Brilliant! You're bloody brilliant! The big red letters were a death warning to Bruce. To Batman, although they didn't know. Yeah, that's chapter one.
Oh my word. So for me, are you sure that wasn't...
Oh, there's only two chapters. Okay. I'm going to finish, actually.
Are you sure? Are you sure this isn't I Am Sam with this Batman crossover?
Riddler and Two-Face were in the Wayne Manor raiding the huge fridge. Harv's, Riddler took some popcorn out of the microwave. Rid's, Two-Face started using a steak knife to cut a literal silver spoon in half. Do we really have to just kill Bruce? Could we maybe have a little fun with him first? Harvey Dent nodded. Never mind.
Yeah, just stop it.
Stop the chapter. It gets No,
are they gonna have some fun with Bruce?
Wow, caught me off guard. Really, the first chapter is so tame.
I don't know what you expect.
The second chapter is like not many lines. It's called Popcorn and Silver Spoons. We already covered the popcorn and the silver spoons, and
What did you expect? Did you?
I mean, I did not expect this. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, dude, it's yeah, okay.
Oh man, this is good.
Yeah. So that's
if you want that, go ahead and email Eli and I'm sure he will.
I'll send you the link.
So who is that by and what's the title?
This is by injustice.loge. Yeah. Hmm. All right.
My heavens. I feel like every DC fanfic we do is always just about a gay romance.
What was the other DC one? Did we do one yesterday?
Batman and...
Oh my gosh, yeah, I forgot.
Batman and Clark Kent.
Yeah, the last reserve, Batman and Clark got together. So yeah. Maybe that's a thread.
Pregnant.
You don't see it a whole lot.
Well, I'm thinking that's what we're doing. all right. Well, that's fanfic. We come to an abrupt halt.
Gosh.
Wow.
All right, well, I guess let's... get down to the grum.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's do it.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too.
All right, everybody. So the multiverse.
Strap in. Jason did a lot of research.
My head hurts because it's all just stupidly smart, and I am not.
It's also incredibly humble. You did do a lot of research. I remember calling you today. And I was like, you ready? You're like, dude, please, can we just do this podcast? I need to dump my brain.
I need to get this all out of my head. Like, a lot of it's already in my head, but most of it I just, like, don't care to know about, like, anymore. So, here we go. The multiverse. Okay. So, both DC and Marvel have multiverses. And to give you a little bit of, like, science about it, we're going to do a balls ton of science in a minute, but just basic multiverse is basically the idea that when the Big Bang occurred, universe never stopped inflating. It just kept expanding and expanding, but it created small like bubbles that stopped inflating, which created like its own little bubble universe. And there's hundreds and thousands of these little bubble universes, one of which we live inside. So that is just one theory of a multiverse. Mm-hmm. One of the many theories. Marvel and DC both have their own takes on what like a multiverse is,
right,
and like their science behind it, which all comes from like different like quantum physics and stuff like that, which I will talk about right now. What we're going to do is we're going to start off with DC's multiverse because it's going to take longer to explain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously the concept is because, I mean, the theory of In a never-ending universe, there's a never-ending possibility of universe or of worlds and of outcomes and of characters and of whatever. Yep. And especially within Marvel, there's all these in DC, these slight tweaks of characters and things that can happen in so many different ways, which makes for a lot of really, really cool and weird storyline.
Really cool, interesting stories. Mm-hmm. And like we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it basically gives these comic book companies just permission to write about different characters. It gives them permission to like do interesting, cool kind of stories. Like we'll talk about like Earth 30, like the Red Sun universe, you know,
right,
and stuff like that. And especially for DC, who's rebooted their heroes so many times and introduced new versions of the same characters so many times.
So many times.
And we'll talk about like how they did that, why they did that. But it all starts with a lot of science.
Put on your science hats.
This is how DC explains their universe, their multiverse, okay? And it's something called the string theory.
Okay.
So if you've ever heard of the string theory, basically to start, what is like everything around us made out of? It's made out of atoms, let's say. Okay, atoms are one of the smallest particles that could possibly exist, right? And atoms are made of protons, neutrons, and electrons, okay? But what are those made out of? Well, they could
quarks.
Be made of, like, quarks, exactly, quarks. Nice, but what are those made out of? Well, some people suggest that those are made out of what are called strings, which are just like little one-dimensional strings that are always vibrating. Yeah. And those vibrations determine basically their patterns determine like whether it is like a proton, an electron, or like in like other things. Like right. depending on what it is how its vibrational pattern is. Okay. These things are so small that say an atom were the size of a solar system, strings would be the size of a tree.
Sure.
So they are extremely small. But it's said that like they make up most everything and like the way that things are.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for that math to like come together for like, you know, the scientists' math, like they said that these vibrations, like these strings would have to vibrate through at least 9 spatial dimensions. We are only aware of 3 spatial dimensions,
mm-hmm.
which is length, width, and depth.
Mm-hmm.
So where are the other dimensions? Well, they kind of offer a revision of the string theory.
DC Comics.
No, it's...
Or scientists.
Scientists, yeah. Okay. Which is like the M theory. And DC goes along with that. Saying that our dimension is tied down to a membrane that vibrates at a frequency that it is within 3 dimensions, a 3-dimensional brain.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And so basically, if our world is tied down to a 3-dimensional brain membrane vibrating in a 4th-dimensional space, which is vibrating through a 4th-dimensional brain floating in a 5th-dimensional space, which is tied to a 5th-dimensional space, which is like down on vibrating in a 6th-dimensional space and so on, like it just keeps going through all these dimensions. Then it kind of helps explain a lot of things, you know, about like how we are here and like what is outside of the earth and where other things come into.
I think I understand why you have actually lost your mind.
Yeah, I've absolutely lost my mind. is, I'm insane.
This is understand your fatigue
level, depth level.
And you know, DC has a map for all of this, and I will show you that. After I explain DC's explanation for their universe, saying that they have 52 brain universes that share the same space, and it's all vibrating at the different frequencies, but it's all encompassing, like inside of an all-encompassing bulk. So this is a bottle falling on the laptop. This is DC's map, which I know that listeners can't see.
I had seen that. Once we post this reserve episode, we'll also post the DC map.
We'll post the DC map of like their multiverse. So yeah, these are like the guys that are tied down to this third dimension, and then outside of like the main worlds here, outside of these main worlds, you have what's called the sphere of the gods, and they're basically on a different plane.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a different level than everybody else. So they follow different rules.
Wow.
And we won't really talk about the sphere of the gods much, but they're outside. They're on a higher dimension, a higher plane than everybody else. So basically, how this all comes together with the DC universe is the DC universe uses these vibrations that I've been talking about to explain how they go back in time and how they incorporate these different worlds, because they're all vibrating on different frequencies. And for example, the Flash, when the Flash made his first appearance in a different world, in his first story called Flash of Two Worlds, which is a very popular comic, it's when he goes back in time and meets the original Flash, Jay Garrick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that basically is the comic that introduced the multiverse.
Okay.
And this is how they explained it, that the Flash moves so quickly, he vibrates so quickly, that those strings that are those one-dimensional strings...
Right.
Yeah.
You can pass through other strings, or
basically,
he can phase between the bubbles of universe,
the dimensions and stuff
that were caught.
So what happens is he vibrates so quickly that those strings become out of sync with the membrane that they're attached to, and they have to match his frequency, and so they attach to other membranes that match that frequency, which sends him to a different universe.
Okay.
Sweet.
So it's very complicated and scientific.
Very complicated.
But it's very, like, a ton of fun. So now I'm going to get more into, like, the DC universe now that we have our just brains full of science.
If you're still awake, then keep then this is where it gets no that was that's comprehensive stuff, Jason.
Yeah, and it's good to know because it's really interesting. Like literally, the DC universe has been teaching us string theory for decades now. Yeah. It's kind of cool. So basically, back in the golden age, like we had all sorts of characters, and we had all sorts of characters that are doing really well, like Batman and Superman. They were doing great, but there were others like the Flash, the Green Lantern, and Atom who weren't doing very well.
Okay.
So DC rebooted those guys. So instead of people like Jay Garrick, Al Pratt, and Alan Scott, we got characters like Barry Allen, Ray Palmer, and Hal Jordan that replaced them.
Sure.
And DC kind of said, hey, like, forget about those old guys. Like, Barry Allen has always been the Flash. Like, Jay Garrick never existed.
That's weird.
Yeah. So when the Silver Age came on, like, these new comic book writers were like, hey, but, like, I grew up reading about Jay Garrick, and I still like him. So they wanted to bring those old characters back and give them new life.
Sure.
So they created, for example, the Flash of Two Worlds, which brought these characters back into the DC universe, saying they've always been there. They're just on a different world. Yeah. So
it genuinely is very fascinating.
No, that's cool. Yeah.
It's really cool. And it also gave them permission to explain characters who maybe came from different publishers, like Captain Marvel, Shazam. Right. He came from Fawcett Publishing, you know, kind of like DC Marvel.
Yeah.
He came from Fawcett, but DC bought him out.
This is the way they explain him into the universe without having to...
Without having to write him, like,
some
weird story.
Right, give him some lame origin story.
Like, he's always been there, but, like, you know, he was just somewhere else for the time being.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty... I think that's pretty wise of DC to do that. I mean, it's, like, it really lends to... It makes it easy for them.
It makes it easy.
To introduce characters and creative.
And, yeah, it was a good idea for a little while. And, like, it still is, because it allows us to get stories like Gotham by Gaslight and, like, you know, like, all the cool, like, Marvel universes that we see. But it kind of started causing problems with, like, origin stories. Like, things weren't matching up, you know? There was a lot of crossovers and weird stuff going on. But we got many, many stories, which I'm going to glaze over right now because I took a lot of time. There were a lot of stories like Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, Zero Hour, and Flashpoint that kind of bring back those multiverse worlds, breaking them up and putting them back together. For example, on Infinite Crisis, the Owens created a guy called the Monitor, which was basically used to watch the beginning of the universe. But when they watched the beginning of the universe, it caused the entire universe to split into multiverses. So that was kind of the birth of those more multiverses.
Right.
It also created the Anti-Monitor. The Anti-Monitor started devouring all these worlds, so that there were only 5 worlds left: Earth 1, 2, 4, S, and X. Okay, and all of the heroes from all 5 of those worlds fought the Anti-Monitor together, which destroyed the multiverse entirely, creating one singular universe where they all live together. Okay?
Jeez.
And then it broke apart again in Infinite Crisis when they used the remains of the Anti-Monitor to recreate a world that was lost, but ended up creating 52 new worlds and bringing the Anti-Monitor back to life with a new Anti-Monitor in every single world. So it's all super complicated.
Oh my goodness.
And then we get stuff like Flashpoint, which brought us into the new 52 universe, okay? And Convergence, which came a part of that, which basically brought everything back together once again.
Wow.
So everything as of right now is canon, everything that has ever happened. DC is just racking our minds with, like, these worlds.
Oh,
it is insane.
Goodness. Are you doing okay, Jay?
I am doing just okay.
Only okay. That is exactly how I'm doing.
That is intensive.
Wow.
And detailed.
Yeah. And now we get to talk about Marvels, which is a little easier to explain, and it's also a lot of fun.
Yeah, Marvels. They just wrote it.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Theirs is easier to talk about. Theirs is more of a Schrodinger's cat kind of a universe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Schrodinger?
The cat that is both dead and alive in the box.
So let's imagine that Tony Stark is in his suit.
Sure.
Okay? And if he gets out of the... He's, you know, there's a problem with the suit, and he has a 50-50% chance of dying coming out of his suit because something's wrong with it.
Schrodinger's suit.
It's like, but seconds before he comes out of his suit, he's considered both dead and alive.
Okay, mm-hmm. Right, the paradox.
Yeah. So, basically, quantum physics can't really explain that. It, you know, it has a right. hard time with that.
Yeah.
So it suggests that there are since there are multiple outcomes, it creates a different timeline. The okay. timeline splits. There's a world where Tony Stark is alive, and there's another universe where Tony Stark died.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So every time in the Marvel universe where there's something like that, where there could possibly be a different outcome, mm-hmm. a different timeline is created.
Which is a lot.
Which is more than a lot.
Yeah.
So imagine imagine Age of Ultron, the mm-hmm. movie, which is technically part of the Marvel universe. It's just on a different world.
Right.
Okay? Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, Earth like 1652, something like
that. Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember. Anyway.
24601.
24601. So imagine in Age
Wolverine
of Ultron.
We should have read that fanfic.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah, is Russell Crowe ever? No, I don't think he's been a guy. Oh, Catwoman is Fantine. Yeah. Fantine, what is her name?
Who? Oh, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, all of that Catwoman. Can exist, and I will talk about that.
Oh,
which is cool. So, anyway.
Sweet.
Where was I? Basically, so take Age of Ultron, for example.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, they beat Ultron and everything's cool again.
Mm.
Well, because of that confrontation, there has to be another universe where they didn't beat Ultron.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And like from that just splits multiple universes where just one thing changed.
Or one mm-hmm. character died, where, one character lived, where yeah, one character
there's,
switched sides.
There's
or something
a universe
crazy.
Where Peter Parker woke up and decided not to brush his teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just sparked this whole new universe.
Right. Missed the bus and didn't get bit by a spider. And now he's just a normal guy.
And now yeah. he's...
And Mary Jane got bit by a spider.
Well, actually, interesting enough, there's actually a comic about that.
Yeah.
No, it's not about that exactly, but... Peter Parker was always meant to be bitten by the spider.
Yeah.
Like, that was inevitable. He was chosen.
Like, no matter what he does.
He was chosen by a...
time that you can't change, yeah. I think.
There's a movie or something that does that, too.
He was chosen by a higher being to be bitten by that spider.
Yeah.
So that wasn't an accident. He was actually chosen to be bit by the spider.
Oh, guys, what is that happening?
I feel like that happens in a lot of
web
movies.
Of,
that happens in Doctor Who.
No, but there's, like, another thing where I'm thinking...
Some things can't change.
Yeah, where it's like, no matter what you do, this is your fate.
Mm-hmm. But I'm actually really glad.
I'm sure that does actually happen in multiple fictions.
Yeah,
and things
absolutely.
Like that,
it does.
I'm trying to think of what exactly.
I'm really glad you brought that up.
Oh my gosh, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
That's what I was thinking. Oh my gosh, he tries to save that guy, the homeless guy. Yeah. Have you seen Groundhog Day?
Of course.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's one of my
that's
movies.
Exactly what I was thinking. Like, gets him like earlier and earlier throughout the day, and like tries to feed him and keep him warm, take him to a hospital, perform CPR. Every single day that he repeats, this homeless guy dies,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like that was his time. No matter what
Bill Murray does,
no matter what Bill Murray does, this homeless guy dies.
Okay.
Wow. Sorry. It hit me like a lightning bolt. I'm glad that
yeah.
isn't gonna keep me up at night. Sorry, Jason.
No,
so
it's
continue.
Cool. But like, I'm glad you brought that up though, because this whole multiple universes thing. Like, endless universes brings up the question, well, if there's always the opposite happening in a different universe, why does it even matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why does it even matter if they just fight? Because, mm-hmm. like, anything could happen.
Yeah.
You know?
There's one universe somewhere where everything is good and the good guys
yeah.
always win. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
like, there's the opposite where it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So why does it matter? And the reason it matters is because this is how Marvel kind of evens things out, is they have higher beings.
The Watchers?
No, more like the Living Tribunal, the
okay.
Time Variance Authority,
sweet.
Like
sure.
like super big guys that govern just like all the timelines.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
govern all the multiverses, and they decide what is a multiverse and what isn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So
they kind of decide those Schrodinger's cat situations.
Mm-hmm.
And they kinda. Say this will make it split, or this is just the outcome.
Well, it's kind of like anything can happen, but not everything will happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I also learned that there's a hierarchy in, like, kind of a thing. So it's like you've got your heroes that are in the Earth, you
uh-huh.
know, and they cause these things to happen. They try and get the best possible outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if one outcome happens, maybe there's a more powerful being watching over them that can affect their future,
mm-hmm.
you know, their outcome of that. But if there's a being higher than that guy, that can also do the same thing on whatever he chooses. Mm-hmm. And then it goes all the way down to the Living Tribunal, who is like the last resort,
like the authors of the comic.
Basically, if
Stanley, exactly, Jack Kirby.
Basically, or the one above all. Like, mm-hmm. if all else fails, it goes down to the Living Tribunal, who will govern what happens. Like,
right.
you know? Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's cool. Marvel's is more fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Easier.
Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
DC's was just written by these, like, brooding, angry nerds. Like, it has to be actual science.
Well, the thing is, like, DC's is more of a timeline. Theirs is more of, like, canonical. Like, mm-hmm. where Marvel's is just, like, all of this stuff everywhere. Yeah, you know, it's true. Like, write whatever you want. It's somewhere else, though.
You know, according to Multiverse and, like, the Multiverses, all the fanfic we've read. Is
technically that is exactly right. And so what's fun about this is I've given a couple of different like multiverse theories, multiverse mm-hmm. ideas, but in theory, all of them are correct and all of them can be possible, which means somewhere down the line, all of these characters, whether Marvel or DC, and that's where we get those crossovers, can happen.
Right.
That means there is a universe out there where Scooby-Doo and... The Punisher are like going on adventures together, and it's beautiful. Okay,
Google that.
Yeah, so that means that, like, if this is true, then all of the fan fiction that we've ever read is also true.
Yeah.
So you're talking. You're talking even from a bigger perspective here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning that, like, literally, like, if you can think of it, that means it's happened somewhere.
Right.
Because even though the likelihood is microscopic with an infinite amount of possibility, even the most least likely thing, if there are infinite variants, will happen.
It has happened.
In a universe, just because I can think it has happened, in a universe, there are three guys right now named Jaren, Eli, and Jason recording a podcast, but...
A My Little Pony podcast.
But it's a My Little Pony podcast. And they're talking about the other universe, Jaren, Jason, Eli, just doing a general nerd podcast.
Don't know why you wouldn't listen to that one instead.
Yeah, you should probably quit this.
They have inspired
Stop
us.
Stop listening to this right
and we're
now.
Doing a My Little Pony they're podcast. Did you guys ever play the video game Alan Wake?
Yeah,
I never did.
So good.
Okay, it's phenomenal. And there are little bonuses. Sometimes you just kind of happen upon them. They don't really drive the story. But they kind of do their own little version within the game of the Twilight Zone. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you're walking along or playing a level, you can walk in a room or something and there's a TV on. And you can, like, zoom in on the TV and you watch this little mini episode of something that basically is the Twilight Zone.
I heard that you could do that.
Yeah. And it just reminded me of this one little mini episode in this game, Alan Wake, where there's this professor who builds a machine that lets him access the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts a gun up to his head. And shoots, and he keeps shooting himself. And his student's like, what? And he's like, you know, it's killing someone else. Because in each of these Schrodinger's cat situations, you know, I'm able to control it now to where I get the positive outcome and the gun misfires every time.
Wow.
Even though it's killing someone else in an alternate universe.
Right.
You know? So in one of those universes, there's a freak accident in the infinite, you know, universe where the professor does kill himself. But then it ends and it becomes more Twilight Zone-y because, like, a kid who's watching, like, shifts and unplugs the machine and it turns it off.
Oh,
and
so
the professor kills himself. I know. It was gnarly. Like, pretty meta.
Cool.
As, like, a bonus on a video game that's probably, like, 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
I kind of want to come back to the question of that question a little bit later. But I did want to mention we did kind of list some of our favorite different timelines or storylines that were kind of different from.
Yeah, we're kind of focused on some additional. We'll just explain some specific.
Right.
Multiverses or alternate. Right.
Yeah, like some of your favorites.
Picked a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jared and I both picked two.
Yeah. I'll go first. I think the one that I like the most always comes to mind. Was written by Neil Gaiman.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Marvel 1602.
So good.
And if you haven't read this graphic novel, do it. It is so, so well written. The art is so cool. More than anything, it is kind of what it sounds like. More than anything, it's just incredibly creative. The way that all these characters are written into the year 1602. You know, basically, it's the story of Marvel's biggest heroes and villains coming to the New World and interacting with aspects of the New World, specifically Queen Elizabeth, King James, and, you know, meeting Native Americans, and it's really, really cool. I mean, just really quickly reading some of what these characters, and some of the names are kind of changed.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick Fury, his name is Sir Nicholas Fury. He is the Queen's head intelligence officer. Mm. Dr. Stephen Strange is the Queen's physician. Peter Parquois is Nick Fury's apprentice. Matthew Murdock is a blind Irish minstrel.
Minstrel.
Raj Haas is a strangely blue-eyed Native American bodyguard
mm-hmm.
who reveals himself to be Captain Rogers.
Oh, my God.
Carlos Javier is Charles Xavier.
Gosh.
And that's an actually interesting thing. He has Roberto Trifusis, Scotius Summerisle, Hal McCoy, Werner, and John Gray. Obviously, these are all the X-Men, but they're not called X-Men. They're called Witchbreed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And there's a little bit of a kind of a witch hunt thing going on for mutants during there. And it's not called the X School for the Gifted, Xavier School for the Gifted. It's called the College for the Sons of Gentle Folk.
What?
Is the name of the school. Four from the Fantastic with a K. The Grand Inquisitor Enrique, which is
mm-hmm.
Eric, it's Magneto.
Oh, sweet.
Enrique.
Yeah, and he's like this.
And Carlos Javier.
He's an inquisitor for mutants, but he himself is a mutant. And leads the Brotherhood of Those Who Will Inherit the Earth with Sister Wanda and Petros. And Toad is just Toad. He's just named Toad.
Gosh, Neil Gaiman is a genius.
Banner
I love him.
Is an advisor to King James. Count Otto von Doom is the ruler of Latveria. Donal. Now, this one's interesting. This one is the guardian of the Templar treasure that they're trying to protect. And it's actually the alter ego of Thor, who's kind of this old guy, and he's called Donal.
Neil Gaiman is also like a big mythology guy.
Right.
Like the Norse mythology and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'd be interested to like even read more just about that
mm-hmm.
Thor alternate and what
it's really
based in like the Templar stuff, you know.
Well, it's
Neil Gaiman knows this stuff.
It's actually kind of cool. So technically this Earth is called Earth 311. And it's
existing at the same time as the other comics we know and love because it's a multiverse.
Right, it is.
That.
Well, and they actually dive into that.
Which is Earth 616. Which is the one you know the best.
That's right.
Earth 626 is the one that Stitch crashes on in Lilo and Stitch.
Not to be confused with.
Yeah.
Don't you dare confuse it with. But this kind of, you just have this interlocking crazy storyline that has people turning on each other. Bruce Banner kind of turns on Nick Fury. Peter Parquois gets bitten at the end by a radioactive spider. Banner doesn't become Hulk until the very end. But it's interesting, actually, Raj Haas, Captain America, he was actually from the future, sent back in a dystopian future where everything's crazy, sent back in time to try to fix it. But there's this kind of dimensional warp thing that was going to make the world implode upon itself. And there's a Watcher in this. Obviously, Marvel's mm-hmm. one of the Watchers in this.
Kind of like the, what are they called in DC?
The Watchers?
Monitor.
Oh, like the Monitors.
Watchers like a monitor.
Right. No, Monitors are way more powerful.
More powerful? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Watchers are just kind of watching it go down.
The Watchers kind of just take history.
Yeah. Right. They write down between history. The multiverses, though, right?
Right.
Because, like, Watchers talk to us as readers, too.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
But this... he's kind of watching this universe unfold and it's collapsing upon itself and Nick Fury and Captain America get out, but the Watcher is allowed by higher power to let this little 1602 Marvel Earth exist and go on. He kind of takes care of it. And so
that's cool.
Exists. And that's a great one. So go and read that one. That one.
That's awesome.
Is also, extremely cool.
One thing to note about Marvel's multiverse is when they use the word dimension, it's cool to like understand what they mean by dimensions. So they have like their own timelines, their own universes, right? Outside of that are dimensions, and dimensions are their own little thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're their own little world. For example, Dormammu, you know, he has his dimension, but it's his own little thing. It's not a part of anything else. It's inside the universe, but it's like a bubble inside the universe. It's
unaffected by other stuff.
Yeah, but it's its own little part of that universe.
Mm-hmm.
So dimensions in like DC are outside Right. So that's kind of.
And that all sounds like Stephen Strange stuff, yeah. basically, which is cool. But what do you got for us?
Another fun fact about Stephen Strange is he is one of, I guess you could say, the guardians of like the timelines, I guess you could call him. Mm. Like he's one of the people that watches over the different timelines to make sure that they go correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
So
that's cool. Okay, so we'll just kind of switch off.
Sure.
Okay, I'll do the next one then. This is, I'm going to talk about the Warriors of the Great Web.
Mm. That's a cool one.
So I'll start, I'll give a little bit of background. So there's a character called Spider UK, who's an English Spider-Man, basically. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, was killed. Or the Spider-Man of Earth 1983 was killed. And so there's a thing called the Spider Totem, which connects the spider people in these different Earths and these different worlds.
Yeah.
So there's this invasion. They're called the Inheritors. And they get defeated by the Spider Army, which consisted of Spider UK, Spider-Man, Old Man Spider,
Spider in the Big Blue House,
Mainstream Spider-Woman, Mangaverse Spider-Man.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, I wish I'd read more about him, actually. So all of these, Miles Morales, you know, Spider-Man Noir, which is like sweet. A cool... Like,
I almost did that one.
Steampunk-ish, that one really cool. Yeah. Steampunk-ish.
Take on
Spider-Man, where he's like this cool, and wears all black and has these cool goggles.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Like I said, Old Man Spider. So all of these spider folk, the Spider Army came and beat the Inheritors. And they removed them from this world called Loom World, and it was the Inheritors' former base. And Spider UK stayed behind in Loom World because his world, his reality, had been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed behind in Loom World and used the Web of Life and Destiny, it says here on the fandom page, to reach out for any universe which needed a Spider-Man. Spider-Girl joined him, and they, you know, were able to kind of run this.
He's like an interdimensional
superhero spider. So he kind of reaches out to the other dimensions that need a Spider-Man,
right?
Or the other realities, you know, and was able to do this. And so,
that's cool.
Yeah, and so basically, it's this team, this league of spider people, including Spider UK and Spider Gwen and Peter Parker and Miles Morales and Spider-Man Noir, mm-hmm. Old Man Spider.
I really need to know more about Old Man Spider.
Just going through and, you know, saving the world and saving the multiverse. You want to know a little bit more about Old Man Spider? No, he's awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
That's way cool.
Yeah, and so they have all these sorts of different missions. Multiverse was destroyed and recreated in the form of Battle World, and the Warriors of Great Web were recreated in the domain of Arachnia. So Marvel has gone through some of these multiverse destructions and rebuildings and things like that. And some of them know about their counterparts. And... so this one here says, while trying to find out about her counterpart's life and death, Gwen Stacy snuck into Oscorp's Special Projects Division and discovered Peter Porker.
Are you serious?
Peter Porker, who is, this is a little quote, this is astounding. Am I a spider with the limitations of a pig, or a pig with the proportionate strength and agility of a spider? I've become something greater than either spider or pig. I've become a spider ham.
Isn't this a Simpsons episode?
The Simpsons movie.
Honestly,
that's what I thought.
So spider pig.
Peter Porker was born a spider named Peter. Oh, and so he was a spider. And he lived in the basement lab of May Porker, who is a goofy animal scientist. And she created the world's first atomic-powered hairdryer.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Hoping that the introduction of nuclear fission into America's beauty salons would revolutionize the hair care industry.
That's good.
This is one drop in one.
This
bucket
is one drop. This is I just clicked on a link of Peter Porker, you know, and that is, you know, he has a fully developed interaction here. I mean, he was born a spider and he got pig powers.
That is so good.
Yeah, another character. One of his menaces is Dr. Doom.
Sure.
There's also King Pig.
Kingpin.
Raven the Hunter.
Oh my.
Hogzilla.
I gotta
get out of here.
That's just a. I should have focused on Peter Porker alone. The thing. I chose the Warriors of the Great Web just because I was
it's everything.
Oh, that one's cool. Oh, that one's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's sweet. You know, Spider UK, apparently, he's like a rookie Captain Britain.
Right.
And then took on the mantle of Spider UK. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So it's bonkers.
It's disgusting.
Spider-Ham, his mask has like the regular Spider-Man mask, and then there's his snout. And at the end of the snout, it
has two like little the same spider kind eyes, of but eyes,
the
nose.
Spider eyes. Yeah, on his nose.
Wow.
I guess it can exist.
There you go. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is
great
Warriors of the Great Web.
Yeah, that's right.
With an emphasis on Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Ham.
Thanks for that, dude. Thanks.
I'm dumber for having listened to
you. I know.
See, I couldn't imagine that I was... See, my second one was supposed to be the weird one, but... Peter Porker just stole the show.
All weird. The other one that I mentioned, one of my favorite storylines. It's the Red Sun storyline, and this is basically asks the question: what if Superman landed in Soviet Russia? You know, the Soviet Union, instead of in Kansas. And they take this storyline, and basically, Superman, quote-unquote, becomes the champion of the common worker who fights for a never-ending battle for Stalin, socialism, and the international expansion of the Warsaw Pact. His symbol on his chest isn't an S, but a sickle and a hammer.
Hammer and sickle.
And it's actually a really interesting storyline. Like, Lex Luthor and James Olsen team up to really try to bring him down. Luthor becomes the president. Brainiac tries to bring him down. Batman is murdered. Batman's parents are murdered by Stalin's illegitimate son.
Oh, sweet.
Like, he becomes a martyr for the cause. Lois Lane marries Lex Luthor. And it's just this ongoing thing of what ifs, and that's the whole point, which I think is really cool.
I love that, and like that's one of my favorite things about that story is how it ends. My favorite thing, like, because basically,
tell me.
Basically,
do we not want to spoil it?
I don't want to spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it.
It's
I kinda
really
did.
Good.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. A little bit. Okay. So basically, I love it because it's a story where Lex Luthor basically wins.
Yeah.
Like, so Superman has control over everything, you know, at this point. Like, he is, like,
he's literally mind-washing people.
He's floating above, like, the city, monitoring the entire world, you know? But, like, oh, gosh, it's so good. Like, because Lex Luthor basically wins.
Mm-hmm. He lives for, like, 1,000 years. Like, it's...
Superman.
No. Lex Luthor as well.
But Lex Luthor, like, in the end of the book, like, sends him a note that says something that just shatters Superman's entire world and realizes that he was wrong. Like, he can't do this.
What did the note say?
The note said you try to put the world in a bottle, Superman, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That. It's like, you want to put the whole world in a bottle? Because, like, he's been working with Brainiac, and Brainiac's known for, like, putting the worlds in bottles to collect their knowledge.
Yeah.
And so, like, he sends, like, a note that says something along those lines to Superman, and Superman, like, realizes, oh, like...
I'm the bad guy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a cool story where Lex Luthor actually wins.
That's tight.
It's a very interesting story.
That's tight.
But that's Red Sun, and I love that one. So those are, I would say, as far as Marvel and DC go, those are the two multiverse ones that kind of hit me
You like, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. What's your last one, Eli?
So there's the TV series The Teen Titans. Not Teen Titans Go, but Teen Titans,
never
which was
Teen
years,
Titans Go.
A few years ago.
Don't watch that.
That we watched as kids, and which was really, really a great show. It was so
fantastic.
Awesome to see. I mean, it was just really cool to see how they did it and how funny they made it and how they could actually make it, like, really epic, you know?
Totally.
And
dramatic.
Do some cool intrigue. So there's an episode where... Robin is fighting. He's chasing
Johnny Rancid,
the motorcycle guy, and he breaks his arm. And then the Titans are ready to go, you know, track down Johnny Rancid without Robin. And he stands up and this thing bolts out of his head and flops on the ground and materializes in this little chubby Robin, who introduces himself as Nosyarg Kid, which is Dick Grayson backwards. He was an extra-dimensional being who had a reality-bending finger, reality-altering finger, that he used to cheat the multiverse and watch Robin, because he was such a fan of Robin's. He's Robin from another universe. He's a perfect DNA match. And he was my favorite superhero
Here's the thing about Eli. Anytime you ever ask Eli a question about superheroes, who's your favorite superhero? Who is, you know, what do you care about most? What's your favorite episode? Any question to anything. Even if it has nothing to do with DC, he will always send the same picture of Larry with his hands on his hips.
So Nosyarg Kid, Beast Boy has a hard time saying it, so he just says, I'm going to call him Larry.
Right.
Yes.
His name is Larry.
And he loves it.
Yeah, he loves it.
And he calls himself Larry.
Yeah. And so I always...
Eli, basically, I feel like we almost designed this episode so Eli would get to introduce and talk about
so
Larry.
So I get to talk about my love for Larry, because literally every answer I have to a superhero question, I send the same picture of Larry.
For maybe the last 5 years, I've known Eli. He sent the same image of Larry to me over and over and over and over again.
I love it. And Larry is from... Dimension 4 9/8.
That's right.
And if you research it, there is nothing else to find. Larry is the only iteration. He is that dimension.
Yeah.
So we don't have any other information. The entire dimension was created just so that we could get Larry and the Teen Titans. So once this episode is released, we're going to be starting a petition to include Larry in either the next Justice League movie or in the Injustice game DLC.
Honestly, like, you put Larry in any DC movie in the future,
I will pay for
it. I promise you, not only will I pay for it, but I promise you it'll get like 120% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh,
120%.
I guarantee that'll win an Oscar. D. Bradley Baker, who is a voice animal. If you've watched a cartoon in the last 10 years, I guarantee D. Bradley Baker's been in it.
Absolutely.
He voiced... Larry, so thank you, D, for bringing him to life.
We're super big fans of you.
We are super
you
want to
come
fans.
On the podcast
we actually
sometime?
We met
you were there too, Comic-Con. Jay, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, I was.
Yeah, we actually, the three of us met.
Because he did the, did the voice.
When you go to them, the characters, voice actors, especially at Comic-Con, you have to pay to get them to do a voice or for a picture, anything like that. And we just went up to shake hands and say, hey, like, we love your stuff. And he's like, what are you a fan of? And we're like, we love Avatar. Yeah. And he gives like a Momo noise.
Yeah.
Totally free of charge. Oh, it was awesome.
It was one of the best.
It was awesome. He was really good to us. So thank you, D.
Thanks,
for that.
D. Thank you.
And thank you for Larry.
Yeah.
He really is like... I could have explained an entire multiverse, but I needed the one character.
You needed Larry.
In this universe that we live in right now, which is under a tent doing a podcast.
Yeah.
That's right.
D is our king.
Yeah, that's right. Is our king. We keep mentioning the tent. We're kind of in transit. This is only the third episode we've ever recorded.
We're nomadic here.
So we've tried to record in my basement, which actually had surprisingly good sound, but was cramped.
Yeah.
Basement in Jaren's house, which... was echoey, and so we actually fashioned this tent that rested over our table with walker and some blankets and broomsticks, and we basically transported that tent to now my house, and we're doing it in my bedroom.
It's really hot.
It's really warm too, because I had to turn off the air, otherwise you would have had to.
Instead, Jason will just do that for us. But thank you, Jason. You did a lot of research for this.
Wow.
This was a fun episode. I learned actually a lot, probably a lot more than I ever want to learn.
I know more about like actual theory and that.
Yeah.
This one was super informational.
It was.
Super cool.
So thank you so much for listening. As always,
we've got to round it out.
We're going to round it out with our unrelated.
That's right.
Yeah. And this is where we do a question that is... totally off topic, but still pretty fun, and everyone's got to answer it, okay?
And we don't know, Jaren and I, the captain presents it, but the other two don't know what
honestly,
it is.
Honestly, most things about this podcast, the other two,
we don't
know anything.
Yeah, we got it. Okay.
Jeez. So,
but this especially.
This one is cool because it is very much multiverse related.
Oh,
so now, this is a world where you've got two teams. You've got Rambo and Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Favorite, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Versus Done. Jason Bourne and Scooby-Doo. Okay, what these guys have to do is they have to solve riddles and get to a specific location.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Once they get to that location, they can prepare for battle.
Okay.
So obviously, if you're there first, okay, you can prepare more and have a leg up on the competition.
Yeah, so detailed.
The other guy comes in and they brawl. They fight. Okay? Yeah. So this is a fight to the death, but first you got to get to the location. So you need to decide between these two groups who gets there first and who wins the fight.
Jason Bourne and Scooby both times.
Really?
Yeah.
Who Scooby-Doo and Jason Bourne?
Yeah.
And Rambo and Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I'll tell you what. It's something about Courage the Cowardly Dog that is indestructible. Have you seen how many times he's been ripped apart, flattened, completely destroyed? He's like Luke Cage in vulnerability. And I don't know. I think he might hold his own against...
I definitely think Jason and Scooby would get there first.
Probably.
Sylvester would
be like, here's the thing, though.
We're going to get...
The reason I put Courage on the team with Rambo is because I felt like Jason would be better at solving the riddles, and Scooby would be kind of just there.
Mm-hmm. Scooby is Rambo, a mystery dog.
Yeah, but he doesn't solve any of the riddles, which is the problem. And so that's why I put Courage on there, because Courage is pretty used
he's
to
a
like
smart guy.
He's Courage pretty smart, used to coming
honestly.
Up with stuff.
He's surprisingly smart.
And Rambo would help, which I felt like kind of evened it out. So I don't know.
I'm gonna say Courage and Rambo are gonna have staying power. Jason and Scooby are gonna get there first.
So you think they'll win the fight even if they're there late?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm still gonna give it to Jason and Scooby for the fight. I think their prep time plus Jason's tactical edge and like strategic edge. Rambo is a guns blazing guy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know,
less tactic.
Yeah,
less
and if tactic. Jason can set up, you know, first of all, he doesn't need time.
He's
to
not
do
Macaulay
anything.
Culkin though. I mean, if this was Home Alone, it's a whole different debate.
Wow. But he doesn't need time to do anything. But if you give him time, I think that's
it. He can make the most of it.
Yeah. Right. That's my vote.
I think Rambo would be the same way. Especially if it was in a forest. If it's in Rambo's like home turf, then they might have the leg up there.
Mm. You put him in the Vietnamese jungle, wherever it is.
Rambo's pretty strong.
Is it South American or Vietnamese jungle?
Rambo. I don't know what it is.
I'm not a big enough fan of Rambo.
I haven't actually seen any Rambo.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've seen the first
one. I just know what he does. I've
seen the first one.
And
I just know Sylvester Stallone.
it was written for him.
Hand to hand, I think Jason Bourne's better.
Sure.
Yeah, kay. I still, because it's technique over brute force, over physicality, and technique wins.
All right.
And that applies in, I think, real fighting.
I think also, like, Courage kind of helps him out. And Jaren kind of mentioned this. Courage is kind of like extra dimensional almost in himself.
He's like Tom Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, he like shapeshifts and stuff. Like,
yeah, he is. Okay, Courage the Cowardly Dog versus Larry.
Stop.
Larry wins, dude.
Larry does. Larry wins Larry anything. Wins. That's the thing, you can't put Larry in a game or in a movie because he's going to beat everybody.
Don't put Larry in a box.
Don't be trying to put Larry in a bottle.
That's why Superman got so discouraged. Larry was in a bottle.
Okay, anyway, I think that about that, wraps That's it up. It,
yeah. Thank for you for today. Joining us for the episode. Please subscribe, like, review, all the good stuff.
If Follow you have bad us thoughts, on keep them to yourselves.
And we really do appreciate it. We love making this podcast. Every fan for himself is a dream come true. We hope you like it.
If you're listening, it's a dream come true.
For me.
If you're listening,
this is
it's a dream come true for you.
For you.
You're welcome to the podcast of your dreams.